Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. I was given a book recently as a gift, and the book is entitled Jabbok. It is written by a friend of mine named Key Sloan, and Key is currently the Bishop of Alabama. Now, Jabbok is the river where Jacob wrestled with God, and the river he crossed to meet his brother Esau. The book is supposed to be kind of a loose retelling of the story of Jacob, or for that matter, any of us who have ever wrestled with God. But I know Key well enough to know that there's a whole lot of autobiographical stuff in this book as well. The main character of the book is Buddy Hinton, who is 8 when the story begins, growing up in the 60s in rural Mississippi, just a couple of miles from the Mississippi River. Buddy loves to spend time playing in the woods behind his neighborhood. And it's on one of those adventures that he spots a wounded deer in the woods, and he is totally unprepared for a chance meeting with a stranger because of that, a stranger who will shape the course of his life. The stranger's name is Jake, a black man. Remember, this is Mississippi in the 60s, a fisherman, an ex-convict, and a tent preacher. Buddy and Jake form a lifelong bond that transcends age and race. Forged by their many conversations about life and faith, their friendship endures sorrows and celebrations and transitions. And ultimately, it reveals a power that changes them both. The book is full of wonderful theology, stories, relationships, and I won't try to retell the story, but rather encourage you to read it. But there is one chapter that spoke to me as I tried to prepare a sermon for this, the third Sunday of Advent. The story is fairly early in the book. Buddy is still a young boy, and Jake is telling his story. He's trying to explain to Buddy how he went from this successful preacher with a huge following and even radio shows in Louisiana and Mississippi to a broken man living alone in a homemade shack in the woods. It seems that the more successful Jake the preacher became, the more his life fell apart. His wife had left him. He was beginning to doubt his own faith. But when the unthinkable happens, he simply can't do it anymore. He can't take it anymore. Jake's only son, Joseph, was killed in the Battle of the Bulge. And the last thing Jake, the preacher, remembers was opening up a bottle of George Dickel whiskey. When Jake woke up, he was in jail, arrested for public drunkenness and disturbing the peace. And there was a preacher who worked the jail. And this preacher came by the next day and told Jake how drunkenness was a sin in the Bible, obviously not an Episcopal preacher, and told him that he was going to hell if he didn't repent. Jake told him he was already in hell. But for some reason that he himself didn't understand, he invited the preacher to come back the next day. And this is how Jake told the rest of the story. He came back the next morning and brought two of the ladies of his flock with him, I guess so as they could witness the conversion and appreciate the preacher. I asked him to come in and sit down, and I told the preacher I was grateful for what he was trying to do, more than he could know. But I told him it was too late. It was too late for me. I told him that either God was a cruel SOB who let children die thousands of miles away in wars they don't know nothing about, or there wasn't no God at all. Just something preachers had made up a long time ago. so they could make money telling other people what to do. I told him, either way, I want nothing to do with it, nothing at all anymore. The preacher didn't know what to say. He was embarrassed. I expect I caught him off guard. He told me I was deciding to go to hell, that there are some things God is not going to forgive. I guess he was talking about me calling God an SOB right then. One of his ladies got all mad and seemed terrible distressed she'd come to see a conversion that didn't play out right. She left my jail cell in a fluster with the preacher following right behind. But the other lady, her eyes filled up with tears, like she really cared about me, even though I didn't repent like I was supposed to. And what she said that morning, I've been thinking about ever since. She said, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." From the book of St. John. "The light shines on, friend," she said, "even when it's dreadful dark, even when you can't see it." Buddy, every time I learn this, the truer it gets. We can only live our lives looking ahead, but we can only understand them looking back. For me, that's the story of today's gospel. The light shines on, and John the Baptist is not the light, but he was sent to testify to that light. But actually, for me, that's also the story of this third Sunday of Advent as well. You see, in the church's seemingly schizophrenic approach to Advent, we're told to wait. Don't celebrate Christmas yet. Hold on. Something great is coming. But today, the third Sunday of Advent, we're supposed to ignore that kind of and rejoice. Now, how in the world can you do both? Today we light the pink candle, a blending of the white of Christ and of Easter, and the purple we used to use during Advent when Advent was much more penitential a time. And we take a break from the doom and gloom readings of Advent, and we get a little Christmas cheer. Rejoice, Isaiah said in the readings. Rejoice. Even though the people of Israel were languishing in captivity, rejoice. Rejoice, Paul says, even though the people he's writing are scared to death about the imminent end of the world as they believe it. And Paul even has the audacity to say, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Really, Paul, is that what you expect of us? Is that what God expects of us? Is that what this third Sunday of Advent expects of us? Because always is a pretty big word. Doesn't God know what a mess things are? How broken our world has become? And we're supposed to rejoice anyway? Doesn't God see the newspaper? Doesn't God understand that we're only human and to rejoice on command might just be beyond us? Doesn't God understand that life is full of pain and just how hard and unfair life can be? Doesn't God know that for so many, this season is not a happy time? Doesn't God understand the brokenness of so many while the rest of the world is singing fa-la-la-la-la? Well, the truth is God does understand all those things. And I don't think the words of Isaiah or the psalmist or Paul or John are some Pollyanna appeal for us to be happy all the time, no matter what. Instead, I think their message for all people through all time is that no matter where we find ourselves at any particular point in time, our faith tells us that's not the end of the story. That's the message of faith. The light shines on, even when it's dreadful dark. Christianity is perhaps as much as anything else all about waiting. Faith is about anticipation. Faith is about looking to what we can't see. Faith is about recognizing that things don't always make sense and may never make sense. But ultimately, faith means recognizing that what we see and experience right now is never the whole story. The story doesn't end with death or sorrow or suffering or heartache or hardship. The story ends with resurrection. And while I may be mixing my seasons, I know of no other way that I can rejoice always. Rejoice. The end of the story is yet to come. Rejoice. The light shines on, my friends, even when it's dreadful dark. Rejoice, for even the shadows contain some light. Rejoice, because hope is more powerful than despair, even if it's harder to hold on to. Rejoice, because love is more powerful than hate, even when hate is more appealing. Rejoice, because God holds all things in his hands, and that's a pretty good place to be. Rejoice, because as Jake told Buddy, no matter what, God loves you more than your mama. Rejoice, because if you take the time to look, you can see the light of God. You can see the light of God in almost anybody, maybe even in yourself. May that light be your companion as we finish our journey toward Bethlehem. And may that light shine brightly in your heart this day and forevermore. God love you. Amen.